I was happy to have slept with her. She was one of the best-looking girls I'd met in London, but I didn't know how to give her what she wanted. She didn't come back for more, and this was going to be a big problem if it continued. In the months that followed, I struggled with how to get this area of my life handled. I'd never openly talked about sex with friends. I'd always felt uncomfortable when the subject came up. Seeing the need for change, I decided to make a conscious effort to talk about sex with male and female friends alike. Gradually, I got comfortable talking about it, making sexual innuendos and jokes, and being more open. I deliberately spent some time with the most sexual girls around and started regularly going to strip clubs. Within a few weeks, I had a girlfriend who was a dancer. She was super confident, a half-Greek and half-Brazilian woman who was paid by the club to teach the other girls pole tricks. She was totally confident with her body, walking around my apartment naked, even when there was a chance that my roommates might see her. She told me what to do in bed, what she liked, and after dating me for a few weeks, she told me I was good. Finally, I'd graduated. In the days, weeks, and months that followed, I brought my newfound confidence into my relationships, and now it carried all the way through to the bedroom. The most important thing that I realized was that potentially embarrassing issues could be overcome if I confronted them directly. It's a lesson that was important for me to learn, and one that I hope you keep in mind as you go on your own journey. Chapter 8. The Day Game. You've now got a system for approaching and seducing a woman at night time, a system that will serve you well. However, you are not always in a bar or club when the woman of your dreams passes you by. In order to have total choice of women and the maximum amount of opportunity, it's important for you to understand how to meet women during the daytime and how to maximize those encounters. Day game and night game are different, and you'll probably prefer one or the other. There are benefits and drawbacks to each. Day game takes you outside of bars and clubs and into streets, shops, the gym, public transportation, etc. Day game allows you to approach girls who are on their own, as they probably won't be at night, and who aren't used to getting hit on, at least not in these daytime situations. That means they won't be armed with what I rather callously but honestly call bitch shields. In other words, you'll be getting the real person. Most people, both men and women, have a persona that they adopt in a club or a bar. Because with day game you're both sober, on your own, and being yourselves, any contact number you get in the daytime is usually pretty solid. Girls often flake on club number closes because either they were drunk when they gave the number, or they don't like the idea of meeting a guy in a bar. Daytime approaches are the opposite. They're actually romantic, and a woman feels better telling her friends that she's meeting the guy who chatted me up in the post office than telling them about the guy I met in a bar on Friday night. There are also lots of attractive girls who avoid going out at night because they don't like nasty men groping them, don't like loud music, or just prefer to do other things. If you want to meet a nice girlfriend who won't cheat on you and isn't a party girl who likes getting drunk, day game is the way to go. A complete system for day game. The problem with day game is that the girls you approach will be more difficult to hook. Girls in the daytime are doing something. They're on their way somewhere, waiting for someone, buying something, or doing their workout. In the evening, you can open any group standing around in a bar, and holding them for a minute or two shouldn't be too much of a problem. On the other hand, a girl walking in the street at midday will stop for you only if you've got a very good reason. Asking if you should dye your hair, that old bar standby, generally won't cut it, and it will take a lot for you to distract her from whatever she's doing. Day game is a more advanced skill, because it works best when you can use something spontaneous and situational to start the conversation. Canned material, opinion openers, routines, and magic tricks seem a little weird in the day. In other words, day game is really more about your natural conversational skills and personality. One of its biggest drawbacks is that it's difficult to Keno escalate. A 1 minute kiss close in the daytime is an advanced level skill. When you start day game, expect it to be tougher to get a good response immediately after your opener. Remember, these women are on their lunch break, they're catching a train, they're shopping. It's not like in a bar, where at most they're having a conversation with friends. It's not a sociable environment. They're not hoping or expecting to get picked up. So don't expect to be greeted with a happy, smiling face when you open your mouth. You might very well have to work for a few minutes to warm things up and get a woman to commit to the interaction. It doesn't mean that she's rude. You'd probably do the same thing if you were in her shoes. On a girl standing still, it's fine to use an opinion opener. It's easier to hook, and harder for her to completely ignore you. But if you're stopping a moving woman, it's tough because she's already engaged in something other than you. In fact, stopping a woman already engaged in motion is the hardest day game skill of all to pull off. If you find yourself in this situation, if you see a woman whose looks call out to you as she strides along, you need to communicate your intent when she's about 10 to 12 feet away. You can do this in various ways. Make eye contact with her. Make a curious face, as if you're going to ask her something. Lift the palm of your hand toward her, slightly above waist height, to subtly show her a stop sign. If you wait until she's within 2 or 3 feet to do any of these things, she won't stop because her guard will be up. You need to deliver your opener when she's farther away to give her time to stop before she passes you. Further tips. You definitely need a pre-opener. Use "hey" or something similar and not "excuse me" because you don't want her to think you want something from her as a street beggar would. Don't go too quickly into your opener. If possible, get her to stop walking as you say, "Hey, I need to ask you a quick question." If you segue quickly into your opener, it's more likely she'll keep walking as she listens, and then just throw you a quick answer over her shoulder. Your goal during day game is to fill the first minute with statement-based elaboration on the opener or a similar subject, and then make the interaction increasingly more personal. Staying on the opening subject for too long after this will make the interaction go stale, and it will get harder and harder to keep things interesting and to make a transition. As soon as you've got her committed to the interaction, get off the opening subject. Once she's invested in the interaction, it's time to take it personal. This can be done by introducing yourself, asking what she's up to, and using other questions to elicit information about her. This part of the conversation should still be structured correctly, as described in the discussion of night game, so that there's an attempt to connect rather than simply asking question after question. The next task is to go for the number close. The way you do this is to connect with her about an activity. Some examples. You. Do you like dancing? Her. Yes. You. Have you tried salsa? Her. No, I want to, though. You. Oh, well, I go to this great salsa class on Wednesdays. You should come. Her. Yeah, sounds good. You. Okay, give me your number and I'll text you the details. Or. You. What do you like doing when you aren't working? Her. Visiting art galleries and stuff like that. You. Cool. Have you been to the new Michelangelo exhibition at the museum? Her. Not yet, but I've been meaning to go. You. Well, I was going to check it out sometime soon, too. Let's go together. Her. All right, great. You. I could do Tuesday or Friday afternoon. Is either one any good for you? Her. I'm free on Friday. You. Cool, let's do it. What's the best way to get in touch with you? Her. I'll give you my number. Or. You. Do you go out to clubs? Her. Yeah, sometimes. You. I get invited to some really good parties. You should come out with us sometime. Bring your friends too. Her. Yeah, okay. You. Cool. Well, give me your number and I'll be in touch closer to the weekend. Or. You. What are you up to? Her. Shopping. You. Do you know your stuff when it comes to fashion? Her. Definitely. You. Well, I was hanging out with a fashion consultant recently, and she gave me some great ideas. Next time you're out shopping, I could join you for an hour, and you could help me get some new clothes. Her. All right. You. Cool. Let me take your number and we can arrange it. Sometimes it might not happen so smoothly. In other words, the clothes might not arise from the conversation naturally. In that case, you could use a hook from earlier to close later. For example, you could find out that she likes shopping, art galleries, and sushi in the first 2 minutes. And then, 5 minutes later, you could use any of these things to lead smoothly into the close. The intervening time is spent developing a stronger connection, or just increasing her comfort, and thus the likelihood of getting her number. Example. Complete day game pickup. The following is an example of a day game pickup from open to close, with a range of various possible answers covered. Remember that this is a guideline. Ideally, there will be room for banter, or for the conversation to go in a different direction. This is principally an example of structure, and the fact that, regardless of what a girl says in response to your opener, you can still continue the pickup and close. Day game number closing. A lot of guys ask me things like, how long should I stay in an interaction? And how do you get a number close in the daytime? The first question should answer itself. You stay until you feel you have enough mutual connection / attraction that she'll want to see you again. Generally, a solid close will need 10 minutes in the daytime, but you could be as fast as 3 minutes. The idea is that you open, and, as soon as she commits to the interaction, you switch into connecting mode and moving toward the number close. It's important to note that the point at which you can get a number close is not the same as the point where you can get a date with the girl. She might willingly give you her number, but then, as with some women you meet at night, flake on the date. There are different levels you can get to. Hook point. She's comfortable talking to you and commits to doing so for at least a short time. Email close point. She doesn't feel comfortable giving her number, but is happy for you to have her email address. She might also take your number when you suggest taking hers. Number close point. She responds positively to the number close suggestion. Date close point. This is where she's enthusiastic about meeting you for a date, to the point of chasing after and trying to close you, or is showing a lot of IOIs, aka indications of her interest. The question is, what can you do if you get only as far as a number close to make sure you can line up a date? Some guys convert only 10% of their numbers into dates. Others are closer to 100%, and that's, of course, where you want to be. When you're going for a close, there's a checklist of things that will show you how likely it is that you'll convert into a date. You arrange a date / next meeting there and then for a specific activity on a specific day at a specific time and place. She takes your number after you take hers, or calls herself from your phone. There are some IOIs and attraction on her side. She asks if you always do this, picking up women in the street, if you're single, or some other verbal IOI. You know that when she's challenged by her friends to tell them about you later, she knows enough good things about you to paint you in a positive light. She's sure enough about you to contradict her friends if they say it's a bad idea to meet. This means putting in the time to make a solid connection. If you can check off all these items, you're in a very solid position, and the likelihood that she will flake is low. To minimize that likelihood even further, try to make sure that your follow-up game is as solid as possible. It will help your success rate to spend some time with the next chapter, which focuses on the matter of follow-up. There are different levels of number closing in day game as in night, and this may result in a massive variable in your success rate. Asking a girl to meet you for dinner creates much more pressure than inviting her out to a party with her friends. Therefore, you'll need to put in a lot less work if you're just trying to get her to a party. There's a filter that applies like this. When she's sitting at home with her friends and you text her, how happy is she going to be to receive that text? And what will her friends say about the upcoming date? If you've spent just 5 minutes with her, the chance that she'll meet you one-on-one is slimmer than that of her going to a party with you and her friends. If you instant dated her at your first meeting and spent an hour with her already, then the one-on-one meeting is a lot more likely. There's no benefit to rushing the close, and the contact number you get doesn't mean much if it isn't solid. Additional resource. If you want to see for yourself how day game is done, then you're going to want to check out our new advanced day game video program. It contains over 10 hours of live in-field footage where we show you actual approaches and then break them down for you step by step. For more information on the program, go to the following URL, www.puatraining.com/daygame. Day game. Your best bet for a nice girl. With a one-on-one student, I was training one day in Trafalgar Square, London. I was getting the student to do some approaches when a very cute girl walked past, about 5 yards away. I waved, and she waved back. For a minute or so, I debated whether to go after her or not. When she slowed down to type a text message, I took that as my sign and ran after her. I told her exactly what I was thinking, that I hadn't been going to run after her, but then she slowed right down, and I just had to. I chatted about the National Gallery, why she wasn't at work in the daytime, and other small talk. Then I said I'd left my friend alone and should get back to him, but that we must meet up. Her name was Melissa. I took her number and tentatively set something up for 2 days later. The student was impressed, and I was very happy to get such a fast number close. I called Melissa later, and we arranged to get together in the evening. We met at a subway station, and I took her to a local bar. Despite my growing experience, I hadn't known that it was possible to have a date like this or to meet someone like her. She listened to what I had to say and asked penetrating questions that showed she was listening intently, really wanted to know more, and was very intelligent. That kind of tuned-in listening is something I do too when I'm really interested in someone, and it was an amazing situation. Within a couple of hours, we got to know each other at a deep level that really should have taken months. It turned out to be the best date I've ever had and the most intense connection I've ever had with a girl. Since that day, I've always emphasized that there are some girls who never go to clubs and who you can meet only in the daytime. If you never do day game, you'll never have a chance to meet these gems. Chapter 9. The Follow-Up Game. How to Keep Women Interested After a Number Close. Getting a number close is a great accomplishment. As we've seen, though, It's no guarantee of an actual date, and certainly no guarantee that you'll see action later. Things aren't entirely out of your hands, however. How you conduct yourself in the follow-up will in large part determine a girl's response. Let's look at some of the options you have for communicating during follow-up, and the advantages and dangers of each. Text game. Questions about texting a girl come up time and time again when I'm training guys. I used to be the worst possible texter, with most of my numbers flaking. Now my text game is very solid. It doesn't ever let me down. Text game is actually pretty simple. And if you follow my rules for texting, you should notice a big difference right away. If you don't want that prized number to turn into a flake, pay attention. Use only one question mark per message. Your messages, unless scripted, should be shorter than hers. Use a fire-and-forget strategy. Send the message, put the phone down, and go do something else. If she texts you back, take your time before responding. Don't rush right over to the phone. Take at least as long to reply as she did. When you write a message, leave it as a draft for 10 minutes. Then go back and read it again, and make sure it's not embarrassing. If she asks a question, like, how's it going, to which you can only give a boring response, don't answer it. If she asks multiple questions, don't answer them all. The best time to send a text message is when you're busy or on your way somewhere. It shouldn't look like you spent too long thinking about what to say. It should look like you finally got around to it and are answering nonchalantly. Don't use XOXOs or smiley faces. Ever. Even if she does. Never send two texts in a row within 48 hours without a response. If she doesn't reply, wait at least 5 days before trying again. Don't try to arrange the date on the first text. This is usually instant death. Finally, for examples of actual text messages that you can send, go to www.puatraining.com/text game. Phone game. Some guys prefer getting on the phone. My friend and longtime wingman, Anthony P., is one of those. But it's a lot tougher to talk to someone when you aren't face to face. So when you get her number, it needs to be as solid as possible. If you call after a number close and she answers enthusiastically, it's on. With a couple of minutes chat, you can probably set up a date pretty easily. If you call and she's a bit cold or non-committal, who? Oh yeah, I remember. Hi. Try to be as interesting as possible. Tell a story, talk about cool things that are happening, and then end the call before she does. In this circumstance, do not try to arrange a date. Leave it a few days and call again. Keep doing this until you call and she seems genuinely receptive. She'll wonder why you haven't asked her out, so just keep building her interest. Then you know she'll say yes when you finally ask. Here's how you should structure your phone game. Once you've finished up the greeting and you sense that she's receptive, try a few of the following. Re-establish initial connection. Use callback humor, making her laugh again at the same things as during your interaction, or show her that you remember things she told you. How was the trip to the zoo with your nephew? Get her into a positive state and ensure that she feels comfortable. A first phone call after a nighttime number close will not feel immediately comfortable. It will take some effort on your part. Get a sense of her plans for the next week. Suggest something you can do together. Arrange the logistics and settle the date. Talk for a little longer and then end the call first. If you call and get voicemail, it's usually better to hang up and send a text. If you do leave a message, Make it quick so you end the call before the recording time runs out. If you plan on calling her back in 3 days, don't tell her, "I'll call you in 3 days." Just say or text her something short and sweet like, "Okay, talk to you soon." Leave her wondering when and if. The best time to call is when you're on your way to a date, when you're on a high after a successful day at work, or when you've just had some good gaming results. You will naturally sub-communicate attractive qualities. You're busy. You're high energy. You have choices. You're not needy or outcome dependent. That are very tough to fake. Don't plan the call for 3 hours and make it from your bedroom in total silence. It's better to be walking down the street or on your way somewhere. If you sense that she's about to wind up the call, head her off at the pass and say that you'd better go. It's all about maintaining control. Facebook game. Lots of guys like to try to game online, but not me. I don't think it's the way to improve your game skills, because it keeps you within your comfort zone, and it takes up a surprising amount of time. It's also virtually anonymous, so people never really know who it is they're dealing with. I do use Facebook, though, and when you number close a girl via FB, there are different levels of connection. It's so solid that you know you'll see her again. You think you'll see her again, but there is potential for her to flake. You're not in a position to get a very solid close. If you close the girl and then add her as a friend on Facebook, something interesting will happen, and you will need to be prepared. First, you need a good profile picture. My page has photographs of me from all over the world, with hot girls, with a bunch of martial arts black belts, they were my cousin's belts, with a cute dog, flying a plane, etc. Trust me, your new friends are definitely going to look through all this from time to time, especially when you add new photographs. So do this fairly often, because it will help to create more intrigue and interest. It's something that I've learned to do with much success. Over a couple of weeks, my new girl sees when I add new photos, new friends, etc. Now, even though we haven't had our first date yet, we're almost a social circle. She sees my face every day when she logs in on her friends list. She knows what I'm up to. It's better and more efficient than a daily text. After a few days, she's primed for some direct Facebook messages, or maybe even an invitation to a safe event, like a night out with a bunch of other people from Facebook. Often, she'll even initiate that contact. While I've received notably varying responses from girls that I have closed and added to Facebook, the technique is definitely fun and worth adding to your repertoire. Chapter 10. Commonly Asked Questions. We've been through all the steps of an effective pickup, and you're just about ready to go out on your own, as a natural at attracting women. Before you do, let me try to anticipate some lingering questions you might have. What's the right way to use a wingman? I talked a bit earlier about having a wingman. Winging is what I call it when you're working together with a friend to meet girls. That collaboration can greatly increase your chances. If you're alone, you can approach lone girls, and you can approach groups to try to isolate a particular girl. But it can sometimes be tricky, especially when you're first starting out. On the other hand, if you're with a wing, when you approach a pair of girls, you can isolate almost immediately and don't have to hold a large group for a long time. Together, you should achieve more. Sometimes, one of you will have to talk to girls you're not attracted to, so as to allow the other one his opportunity, but it all balances out. There are various ways to wing together. Some of the best approaches are these. Spontaneous involvement. Both of you stand near the girls, having fun together and reacting to what each other says. Then open the girls, seemingly spontaneously. In the following example, the first sentence is said loudly enough to be overheard by the girls, while the second includes the group.
No way.
Hey guys, do I look gay? He just said I look gay in this shirt. Tag teaming. One of you approaches and opens the whole group. The other wanders in once the group is hooked. If it's a pair of girls, you can both isolate. With a bigger group, one guy should take on the group, while the other one isolates the girl he's interested in. This could be either the guy who opened, or the one who comes in later. With a mixed group, I find it's best for the first of you to open the guys first and make friends with them. While this is going on, the wing comes in and takes the girl. Accomplishment intros. This is my friend. He has the coolest job. He lives and works at the bottom of the sea repairing oil platforms. What you're doing is making your friend sound cool in some way. If he did that himself, it would be bragging. But if you do it, it's fine. Where's Michelle? A pickup artist I know called Toe Cutter came up with this one. It's a way of making sure you have your wingman when you need him, and don't have him when he would just get in the way. The wing comes into a group you're already part of and asks if you've seen Michelle. You say you think she's over there and point in some direction. He turns to leave. If you want him in the interaction, you pull him back in and introduce him. If not, you let him go. Code words. You can work out code words with your wing. For example, for location changing. I like this song. Taking the girls home. Want some gum? And identifying your girl. This one is trouble. While clubbing with a wingman can be great fun, it's important to have fun with your wing, or wings, in a non-club environment too. Do competitive fun activities together. Sports, games, arcading, bowling. Harness upbeat, high energy. If your only connection is skulking around looking for chicks, your relationship won't be as interesting, or as useful with women. Find some stories to tell, have loads of fun, and then bring the party to the location. What if she says she has a boyfriend? In your mission to attract, you're going to get plenty of objections from girls. How you deal with these is very important. Many objections are just tests to see if you're enough of a man. Women are looking more for your attitude here than what you say. After listening to the examples that follow, you can develop the right mental frame to come up with your own objection responses. Sample responses. Girl. I have a boyfriend. You. Cool. He can make us breakfast in bed. Or. You. You've got a boyfriend. Or. You. Good. It'll give you something to do when I'm busy. Or. You. Excellent. He can hang out with my girlfriend when we're together. Or. You. Nice. Anyway. Continue seduction. I should add the disclaimer here that you shouldn't mess up people's relationships lightly. You'd be treading on dangerous ground. I personally haven't messed up a good relationship, and there are no girls out there who hate me for breaking their heart. My morals mean I get laid less than I might otherwise, but I can genuinely say I love women and don't want to hurt them unnecessarily. Types of girls with boyfriends. The first type of girl who raises the boyfriend objection acts like she's single, even if she says yes when you ask if she has a boyfriend. If despite her verbal response she's grinding on you, expressing interest, and showing no compunction whatsoever about flirting, she's obviously not in a relationship that she seriously cares about. The second type shows signs of interest, but seems kind of torn. She often acts nervous and unpredictable. That's because she wants you, but doesn't really want to cheat. This girl is not in an amazing relationship, but she likes the guy and has morals. She can easily be persuaded to develop the interaction with you if you slowly build comfort and stay far away from the subject. If you take things further with this girl, you'll need to consider whether you're doing the right thing, because unlike girl number one, she probably wouldn't cheat with just any guy. The third type is the rarest of them all. In fact, it took me a few hundred approaches before I encountered this kind of girl. She has fun with you and laughs a lot, and together you have a great interaction. But there's absolutely no sexual tension or indication of interest. She's not looking at you in that way at all. You might as well be gay or a girl. The reason she can hold herself apart like this is that she's in a very solid relationship. She knows that no man can show her more in 30 minutes than her boyfriend has in the months or years that they've been together. Even if you're better looking, funnier, and everything she's looking for, she's just not thinking along those lines at all. This is a very nice girl. You want one like this for yourself when you develop a proper relationship. They're rare, as I mentioned. You won't find many in clubs. How do I get into an exclusive club? Okay, so you can get into the semi-exclusive clubs, and you can get into the places where you know someone. But how do you get into the bigger scenes, like the celebrity after-parties? The first thing to know about these things is that there are some normal dudes in these places. The guests aren't only models, millionaires, and celebrities. The owners and managers at the club will have some guest list power, and often so will important promoters. But let's assume you know none of these people. So how do you get in? Here are my four secret methods revealed. The gal with the clipboard is at the door. You approach and give her the name of Ben Harris, plus one, and you're the one. She checks her list, and while she's doing that, you take a surreptitious look at that list. She finally says you're not on it, of course. You step aside and make a quick call on your cell phone, then go back and tell her it's actually John Doe, a name that you just saw on the list. This one works in limited cases. You're near the entrance, but not in line, and the clipboard gal is facing the line, meaning she's at a 90-degree angle to the street. If you go to the door, you'll be asked what you want, or told to go to the back of the line, or to move away. But if you go toward the door while pretending to be on your cell phone, you might be able to get far enough past her to see over her shoulder. So get on the phone and go up to where she is, and take a quick look at her guest list. Spy some names, then get in the line and use one of them. Many nightclubs use marker pens to mark people who go out to smoke. You can buy an ultraviolet pen, or whatever they use at that particular club, on eBay. Hang around the entrance, using the cell phone trick, when people go out to smoke, and see if you can figure out what mark or letter the club is putting on hands. Go away and put the mark on your hand, then hang around outside for a bit before going in. This works best at peak times, when club employees are swamped. If the club is using a stamp, try getting someone to press their hand against yours to transfer it. This method is the nastiest. You get in the line and start moving forward. When you're about 3 minutes from going inside, ask a friendly person in line to keep your place. Walk toward the back while seeming to write a text message. Pick a guy and look at him, surprised. "Hey, Matt, how you doing?"
"I'm not Matt," he says.
"Really? What's your name? I'm sure I've met you."
"Will."
"Will, maybe. What's your surname?"
"Fraser."
"You know what? The connection will come back to me. I definitely know you from someplace. I never forget a face. I'll see you inside." Finish your text, and then get back in the line. And when she asks your name, you're Will Fraser. Don't feel too bad about Will. He'll get in too, even if he's questioned, because he'll have the proper ID. How do you walk up to a girl in a club and kiss her instantly? I started trying this about a year into my gaming, but it took a long time for it to happen successfully. It took me many more months to figure out what I was doing so that I could teach it to other people.
This is one skill that definitely belongs in the advanced skills section, because it's difficult and has certain prerequisites. You can't run before you can walk, and you can't instant kiss clothes until you can force an IOI and go in directly following a positive response. Create sexual tension and escalate smoothly to the kiss in less than 15 minutes. Once you can do this, the process for the instant kiss close, aka K-close, is relatively straightforward. Here's what you do. Identify the girl you're attracted to. Make eye contact. Look at her like you want her, and walk directly toward her, slowly and smoothly. As you get right up close to her, take her hand, run your fingers through her hair, and slowly and confidently move in for the kiss. The reason this works is because you're creating sexual tension from a distance using seductive eye contact. When you then walk directly toward her, she's forced to either accept, hold eye contact, or reject, break eye contact. You must be walking directly, however. Otherwise, the fact that she holds eye contact doesn't tell you anything. You must do it slowly to create the sexual vibe. The rhythm of sexual tension is slower and smoother than normal movement. So good luck. To see this technique in action, go to www.puatraining.com/instant kiss. Do you use online dating? I haven't put much energy into online dating. I've met only one girl via the internet and would rather focus on live situations. This, however, is just me. I love the game of seduction, and for me the online version seems a bit watered down. When you gain command of the skills described in this book, my suspicion is that you will feel the same way. Having said that, I do get a lot of questions about online dating. So I've taken the time to build a killer profile that works like crazy. It uses the principles of the natural art of seduction to draw women in, and I've had students use it to land very hot chicks. Here's the profile of your desired woman. She knows what she wants and isn't afraid to go for it. She likes her man to be a man, but still be able to show his emotions. Balance is important to her. She works hard enough, but her job doesn't consume all her energy. She enjoys the nice things in life, but is also spiritual and doesn't get fully caught up in the quest for material goods. She wants a man in her life, but doesn't need one. She knows that she and her man will be worth more together than apart. She enjoys the simple things in life, but can also be spontaneous. She likes to travel to far-off places, relax on sandy beaches under a hot sun, and then cool off in the sea. But she also likes the hustle and bustle of a busy city. This contrast and balance are part of her character. She is centered and content, but being with people that she cares about is important to her. She is kind and considerate, and would like to be her naturally caring self with people who have earned her trust. She wants a man who understands her, one she doesn't need to tell what she wants, but who just knows. A man who can be the closest person to her, to help her make decisions, and to always be there and offer her his strength when she needs it. She doesn't expect to find him right away, but she'll know when she does. You'll see that it says nothing about you. There's no point, because everyone will be saying the same thing, so it's impossible to stand out. By talking about her, you make the profile more engaging. As I said earlier, women are more interested in hearing about themselves than listening to your story. Furthermore, you're qualifying her and challenging her all the way through. If she reaches the end of the paragraph and thinks she measures up, she'll want to claim her prize, which can only mean contacting you. My other dating profile was a lot shorter, but still got lots of responses. Be careful. I'm trouble. Conclusion.
My journey over the past 5 years has been turbulent, full of emotional ups and downs, but I'm incredibly thankful for it. Each month saw new challenges, situations that scared me, and changes taking place within me. I wasn't always sure that I was on the right path. I didn't know whether I should change so many aspects of myself. At times I thought I might become strange, and at other times I worried about becoming overly cocky and arrogant. In the end, I managed to find balance and peace, and for the rest of my life, I'll be able to look back at what I was like before and be happy for making the choice to take action. In the preceding chapters, I've laid out a roadmap for you, so that you can achieve your goals a lot quicker than I could. Some things that I did by accident, you can do consciously. Mistakes I made and outline here, you never need to make. Before leaving you to start the process of becoming the best man you can be, I want to give you 2 very powerful final pieces of advice. Advice that will all but assure your success. People often ask me, what's the one thing that helped you the most? It's a tough question, but I can identify 2 things that ensured the success of my journey. Observing naturals to learn their skills. The first is that as soon as I decided to improve this area of my life, I forced myself to seek out and learn from people who were better with women than I was. Rather than socializing with people just like me, nervous guys who were inept socially and inexperienced with women, I found the top 0.1%, and I spent as much time observing them as possible. I never had a guide, someone to tell me what to do at every step. I did, however, have these role models in the form of the people I sought out and became friends with. People like Steve and Alex. Steve is a natural with women, and the greatest seducer I've ever seen. Over and over again I've watched him pick his favorite girl, approach her without rejection, and within minutes be kissing her, and then leave the club with her. He has no idea how he does what he does. He's a true natural. But I learned a great deal from watching. Soon after meeting Steve, I took a trip across Europe, visiting 13 countries over 2 months, and I came back a different man. I suddenly had the perspective of a man who had slept with countless women, rather than the limiting beliefs that I'd had just months before. The things that Steve did in nightclubs, the way he seduced women, I started doing almost unconsciously. Now I teach my students how to do the same exact things and how to get the same results that Steve got. One night I saw a guy in a club. He stood out for me because he was surrounded by hot women. I'd been gaming for a year by this point, and usually in this situation would have tried to steal his girls or make him look bad in some way. That night, I so admired his work that I actually decided to talk to him. Alex K is his name, and we became best friends. Alex is a social superstar who can make anyone like him within minutes of meeting him. He has a huge social network and is the opposite of me. He's a natural extrovert, incredibly funny, and loves the spotlight. After we'd been friends for a few months, I went on a date with a girl, and at one point in the evening, she said she'd been laughing so much that her stomach hurt. I realized that by spending so much time with Alex, I'd become funny. I'd changed from the boring guy girls didn't want to see again to a guy who always had incredible first dates and great conversations with women he'd just met. The lesson? Surround yourself with people who have skills that you lack. Learn from them and absorb their talents. Seizing opportunities as they present themselves. The other thing that helped me the most has been my ability to take action. Over the past 5 years, I've been presented with innumerable situations that ranged from scary to downright terrifying. Things like speaking in front of 700 people, going on live primetime television to be interviewed by a sharp,
smart-ass host. Approaching women in the street in front of skeptical journalists. Going to a super high-end nightclub for the very first time. Approaching groups of 5 to 15 women while whole boot camps of students watched. Moving to a new city where I didn't know anyone. Approaching the most beautiful woman I've ever seen at a bus stop. A funny thing happened when I started taking action. It used to take me hours or even months to pluck up the courage to do something. Now I actually seek out scary things and commit to them right away. I recognize that feeling in my stomach that held me back for so many years. Now I have so much evidence of feeling that feeling, taking action, and thereby improving my life, that now I actually enjoy feeling it. It means I'm going to learn something, probably something that will greatly enhance my life. The good news now is that not very much scares me. I'm comfortable in pretty much any situation. The lesson? Take action whenever it presents itself. Whether agreeing to go out to a party, even if you're tired, to signing up for a class, to doing something drastic, like moving to another city or country. A letter from Richard. Dear listener, congratulations. You've made it to the end of this book, and that's something you should be proud of. Now the real work begins. I've showed you the path. It's up to you to take your first steps forward. Ralph Waldo Emerson famously said, "Do the thing, have the power." In my opinion, truer words have never been spoken. And while I hope you've enjoyed listening to this book, my greater hope for you is that you will take action on what you've learned to bring you the life you want with the women you want. From personal experience, I can assure you that just studying won't give you what you want. Sure, it's a great way to start, but if you want to achieve radical success with women, if you want to get this area of your life completely handled, it's going to be the action steps from this day forward that determine your future. In Chapter 2, The Attraction, we got to the root of what causes women to feel attraction and discussed the steps you need to take to ensure that you're sending the right signals to women. Signals that do, in fact, trigger attraction. We also laid out a series of action steps, including belief change exercises, state conditioning, body language recalibration, and more. I urge you, do the exercises I've laid out for you. I have included them in this book for a reason. They worked for me and changed my life. I want the same for you. In Chapter 3, The Seduction, we really turned up the heat and dived headfirst into the art of becoming a natural with women. In that chapter, and those that followed, I delivered more techniques and tactics than was probably sane or reasonable, but I did it because I want you to be armed with the best of the best material when you get out there. Which brings me to my next point. Actually, get out there. I know it can be scary. I know the negative voices can creep into your head and try to discourage you. But please don't listen to them. Pick a few days a week and commit to going out. At first, just commit to something as simple as physically walking into a social gathering where women are present. Then, once you feel comfortable with that, make the next step and do your first approach. As time goes on, put one foot in front of the other and remember to never give up. I can assure you, your situation is nowhere near as bad as mine was, and yet today I have everything I've ever wanted in my life when it comes to women. And I have it all because I refused to give up. I encourage you to follow in my footsteps. Okay, that about does it for now. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this book. I wish you extraordinary success with women from this day forward, and I look forward to meeting you in person soon. Cheers, Richard LaRuina. This is Steve West. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of The Natural, How to Effortlessly Attract the Women You Want by Richard LaRuina. This program was produced by Literati Audio. The director was Dennis Kao. Executive producer, Caitlin Gehring. Text copyright, 2012 by Richard LaRuina. Production copyright, 2015 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.